We're going to hear from the Word of God, 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, and then chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This is Paul writing to Timothy. I am giving you these instructions, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies made earlier about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, having faith and a good conscience. By rejecting conscience, certain persons have suffered shipwreck in the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have turned over to Satan so that they may learn not to blaspheme. And then to chapter 3. The saying is sure, whoever aspires to the office of bishop desires a noble task. Now a bishop must be above reproach, married only once, temperate, sensible, respectable, hospitable, an apt teacher, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, keeping his children submissive and respectful in every way. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may be puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace and the snare of the devil. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open our minds and hearts as we hear the word and comments about the word. We pray that you would speak in this time that we have together and that we would hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dirty money. Matthew became rich as a Jew who participated with the Romans, overtaxing his fellow Jews, supported by Roman muscle. Smelly, stinky hands. Peter and Andrew, James and John, all day long, these fishermen handled fish. Dark, dangerous ideas. Simon the Zealot was part of a foolhardy revolutionary movement intent on throwing Rome out of Israel by way of force and violence. These and others were the first followers of Jesus, people Jesus sought out. He called them, this rogues gallery, he called them together to be the first community that he had around him. After the crucifixion, then came the resurrection, then some appearances of Jesus, and then in body he ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. His body was gone from the earth, but he was present in the Holy Spirit. At that point in the story, who were the leaders of this new thing on earth never before seen, God's church? There were those disciples that I mentioned. Also among the early church members and leaders was an expert in debating Scripture, an indefatigable worker and a capable tent maker, Paul of Tarsus. There was a man born of a Greek father and a Jewish mother, Timothy. When Paul refers to Timothy as my child or my son, he's talking about in the faith. He was not actually his parent. There was a man of religion who understood the heart of the Word of God as much as others overemphasize the letter of the law, the great encourager Barnabas. What marvelous diversity we see in the skill sets, the personalities and temperaments of the men and women who comprise the early church and leadership in the early church. We don't want to overlook the sage, Priscilla, advisor to preachers, or the tailor and fabric maker, Tabitha, or the woman Paul called his compatriot and prominent among the apostles, Junia. Paul referred to her as an apostle. In the tradition of the early church, we at Hillsong recognize the gifts of women and men. We ordain as elders women and men, and standing upon the foundation established by the Holy Spirit. We see among us a variety of people who are called to serve an elder ministry. Today, we install as elders a doctor who specializes in treating infants, a nutritionist right out of the UNC School of Public Health, and a scientist who studied chemistry at UNC. They have been ordained and served previously, and today rejoin the active elder board. Along with them, we ordain two new elders. One is a yoga instructor and a current student at the UNC School of Public Health, although about to graduate, and we hope find a local job. And the other, an expert in HVAC systems. Alan, Jess, Alexis, Nusheen, and John are different from each other. They are men and women of different ages, with different skill sets, varying ideas, unique life experiences, diverse personalities, and each one has his or her own story about how God brought them to this day on which they commit to 3 years of service as active elders overseeing the ministry of Hillsong Church. Paul writes in 1 Timothy that he's giving the instructions he has written in this letter so that the church may fight the good fight and have a good conscience. The church in our 21st century American cultural climate is in a fight. A fight for truth. A fight for freedom from destructive temptations. And a fight for identity. That's why Paul not only wants us in this fight, but to be in this fight with a clear conscience. How we go about sharing the gospel is as important as the gospel that we share. As a church, we must be gentle and generous. There are enough people out there yelling, pounding the pulpit, furrowed brows. We've got to be gentle. We've got to be stubborn. Stubbornly committed to the Word of God. Stubbornly committed to the way of Christ. But in that stubborn commitment, we've also got to be open. We've got to be open and welcoming to people who are not yet on the way of Christ. Someone who doesn't know the gospel, who doesn't know what goes on inside that building they've driven past 100 times that has a church sign in front of it. When they come in, they've got to feel like they're welcome, they're loved. There are not expectations of them to be a certain person, but that they can be who they are in this place. To succeed in being a church that leads the lost to Jesus and helps people grow as his disciples, we need our leadership to be sound spiritually and committed. Paul touches on this both in his first letter to Timothy, where he talks about leadership in the church, and again in his letter to Titus. Leadership in the first century was essential, and it's essential for the church in the 21st century. The first Christian leaders, Peter, Paul, Timothy, and the rest, had a strong sense of calling. And I know that those who stand as our elders today have that same sense. They're committed. Committed to excellence in their Monday through Friday lives, in work, and relationships, whatever that work is. And they are just as committed to their role as leaders in discerning God's wisdom in our church. That discernment is one of the ways we fight the good fight. We battle division and contentious rhetoric. We fight with generous, hospitable welcome, showering people who come to us with loving, gentle words. We reject divisive nationalism and instead insist that here, when you walk in these doors, when you're part of this community, we are a family. We come from different parts of America. We come from different parts of the world, different countries in the world. But here we live in an eternal family, brothers and sisters in Christ. We know, We know full well that evil and hatred are on the loose, wreaking havoc in this world that started out as God's good creation. But we also know, even as evil and destruction and death abounds, we know our church has been set here by God to be a lighthouse, shining light on God's truth so all can see it. God has set our church here to be a safe harbor, welcoming people in from the devastating storms of life and helping them make their way into the grace-filled arms of Jesus. Making sure our church does this work, that's what you sign up for when you accept the call to be an elder. But it's not just the elders and the deacons who are called. All of us, everyone in the room, is called. Called to salvation. Called to discipleship. Living as disciples, we know that each and every one of us is called to ministry in some form, as well as to living our witness in our daily lives. For many weeks now, those of you who are here every week or pretty often, you've seen in the bulletin, sometimes you hear announced from up here that we need volunteers in hospitality ministry, as front door greeters, in children's Sunday school. Each one of us can listen for God's call, and when it comes, we answer. Your church needs you to be God's agent in helping our ministries thrive. Our elders have the special task of overseeing the entire church to make sure we're all living into the calling God has for us. And at our church, we want to help you into that joyous life of serving from the time you start coming. As soon as you feel comfortable, whether it's been 2, 3, 4 Sundays, we want to help you find your place in the life of the church. Paul writes, "I'm writing these instructions to you so that you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and bulwark of the truth." The phrase, how to behave, has nothing to do with culturally bound mores, such as how we dress or what style of music we listen to. Cultures have different expectations about where to wear hats and what kind of food to be served and what are the greeting customs and what are the modes of conversation. We know that our church family is a blending of cultures that welcomes people who have different customs and traditions. We don't get bent out of shape when people behave in different ways as long as we're all respectful and loving toward one another. We know Paul's phrase, how one ought to behave, is about our hearts. What's in our hearts? With the new elders on board, our leaders know that hearts full of love and grace will always behave in a way that's worthy of the household of God. And that's what we are. We are the household of God. And maybe this is your first time. You haven't been to Hillsong before, or you've only been worshiping a short time. We're glad you're here. You too are called to salvation, called to discipleship. That means you can find out today how you can be part of the life of the church and the ministry of the church. I'm going to paraphrase Hong Zhu, our minister for Chinese ministries. She said something like this in a meeting earlier this year. Serving God in the church is the most meaningful and wonderful gift you can give to God, to the church, and to yourself. It's the best thing to be part of, and it's been my entire life since long before I answered the call to be a pastor. I was in the life of the church, and I'm thrilled to be able to say that. I'm grateful. As we go through the service of ordination this morning, I encourage everyone in the quiet of your heart to be in deep prayer and think about the specific ways God is calling you in your life, in your relationship with Him and in how you can serve Him in the joyous life of serving in the church. Our new elders are Alexis Carpenter, Nasheen Ghazi, Jess Ostrowski, Alan Stiles, and John Roberts. Alexis, Jess, and Alan have served in the past. They've already been ordained. And so today they're going to be installed, rejoining the active elder board, rotating back onto the active elder board. Nasheen and John are serving as elders for the first time, and they've not been ordained before, but will be ordained today. Now, the elder and the deacon ordination is a layperson ordination. Pastors, when we are ordained, we're set apart to be mediators. It's a priestly role where we come between the people and God, mediating that relationship. That's the priestly role of a pastor, and it's a lifetime ordination. That's what pastors are ordained into, that work. Elders and deacons, lay ordination, are ordained as servant leaders in the church. And we have specific tasks for the deacons at Hillsong. They oversee our budget. They oversee our building. They are administrators. And that is spiritual work. It's nuts and bolts. I'm so thankful for our deacons because they are better at that than I am. And they let me come to their meetings, but I usually listen to their wisdom. And so that's the deacon. The elder ordination, they are ordained to be overseers. Their first job is to pray for the church and then to discern whatever new ministry initiatives or ideas we have, is that in keeping with the vision of God for this church? The elders are ordained as caregivers. If something's going on in your life, you've been assigned an elder that's going to pray with you and walk through that with you. So those are the works. You're only ordained once as an elder or deacon, but then you serve actively after 3 years. You rotate off, and then you're eligible after a year to rotate back onto that board for service. And if you've been ordained as an elder, you can serve as elder or deacon and vice versa. If when you're ordained it's to be on the deacon board, you can later serve as an elder, like Alexis will this morning. Normally, we have four people come on board to begin the new elder year, which starts in June. This year, Nasheen is the fifth, and she'll be finishing the term of service for an elder that couldn't finish out his time. So we'll keep our elder board at 12. So that's how the leadership in your church family works, pastors, elders, and deacons. And the two who are being ordained today are going to share just a little bit of their story and how God led them to the point to accept this call into ordained ministry. So I think John's going to come first and then Nasheen. So John, would you come up?
I was baptized in this church body in 1980, and along this time I've had the great privilege of being with so many wonderful people in this church. Our two children grew up in this church, and it's been a great experience. I have done different things while I've been a member here. I've been a Sunday school teacher. I've served on the drama team, worked with Habitat. I've worked on the hurricane relief efforts. And soon after we became Hillsong Church and moved into this building, God called me to go with the Hillsong team that went to Zambia and Zimbabwe. And that was really a great experience that I treasure very much. I've tutored Burmese immigrants for their citizenship test. And of course, I've been a member of small group, and I've been a member for a long time. But I'd never been either, I'd never served as a deacon or an elder. And this time I felt God was moving me to stand for election for the elders. Our church has a lot of challenges ahead. Some of us remember when we did change the name of the church and move here, and we may be faced with changing the name again. And this church has been so good to me, and I decide I should stand for election for elders this time. We have a lot of challenges, and I wanted to give back to this church. It's been so good to me. Thank you.
Hi. So somehow Rob keeps getting me back up here, even though he knows I kind of hate it. But I don't say no, so I'm here. And I was thinking about why I had decided to take on this role. And previously to this election, the thought of being an elder kind of seemed like, maybe not for me. Seems like someone else should probably take on that kind of leadership style role. But then someone mentioned it to me this year, and I didn't immediately recoil at the thought. And so that was one first thing. Didn't have any immediate doubts. And I prayed about it and thought about it. And this unrelated to that, I recently had looked back at my new member testimony. I was kind of just curious, like, what did I say at the time? And so I listened back to it and realized that I had grown quite a bit from that point, and that I shared that, I think it was a few years ago now. And so looking back, it's kind of interesting to look back at a snapshot of your life and where your thoughts and your process was at the time. And seeing how I've come so far, I've realized that I've grown quite a bit in this church, and Hillsong has been a place that's facilitated and fostered growth in my walk, and I think that maybe it was time for me to take on a role to do more, and I am grateful for this church and everyone individually who has been contributing their own individual way to the life of this church, and it makes it a place that where people can really grow and become like better, and not just better, but changing and transformed.
Good morning, I'm Alan Stiles. I'm going to charge the two of you for your new duties, and for that I'm going to read several paragraphs to you and then ask you some questions for you to respond to for the church. Nusheen and John, today you are called before the church, set apart, because we believe God has prepared you a special field of ministry work in our church. Our church has a rich heritage of devoted Christian men and women who have served in the role of elder. By accepting this call, you take your place in a long line of God's servants. This line extends beyond the history of our congregation. Followers of Jesus have selected some of their members to set apart for ordained ministry, going all the way back to the very first deacons who served the church shortly after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. This ministry has a great tradition. It also comes with great responsibility. At Hillsong Church, elders have three primary responsibilities. First, elders pray for the church, for all members and all ministries. Second, elders provide care to all individuals in the church. As an elder, you will be assigned responsibility for a group of families and individuals. You will be expected to be familiar with their lives and provide the ministry of care as they need it. Third, elders work with the pastors and deacons to oversee all ministries and events in the life of the church. We answer to God for how diligently we work to fulfill these responsibilities. You are also dependent upon God for success in all our endeavors. You are here because He called you. You are under His grace, and you serve in a community of love. And most important, the power you have is the power of Christ at work in you and in this church family. So to the charge and questions. Nosheen and John, will you fulfill your role as an elder to the very best of your ability? Will you also promise to lead a life of faith, prayer, and commitment to the Word of God and to testify to the gospel of Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit leads you to do so? Will you uphold and promote the Hillsong Church mission statement, vision statement, and statement of core values? If we could pray. May the Father bless you and watch over you, Nosheen Ghazi and John Roberts. May the Holy Spirit fill you, and may Jesus be seen in you as you serve Him and our church family and in your everyday lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Ben Johnson. I'm the chair of the Deacon Board, and we'll be doing the charge to the church. The elders, as stated in the Constitution, provide spiritual direction to the church in order that the church may fulfill its stated mission, vision, and values. The Elder Board is comprised of church members nominated and elected by the church body. The church has recognized that these members have been called by God and set apart for this ministry of leadership and spiritual guidance. Will you, the church, pledge to support and work alongside the elders as they carry out their assignments? The elders, along with the pastors, are responsible for leading the church in prayer and seeing to the care of members who need prayer and assistance of the church in spiritual matters, family matters, and other issues that arise in life. Will you, the church, pledge to communicate needs to the elders and work alongside the elders in caring for those who are in the Hillsong Church family? As stated in the Constitution, deacons provide guidance in finance, personnel, and other areas related to the church's mission. Will you, the church, pledge to support the deacons and contribute to their resources financially and in service? The deacons serve under the direction of the elders, and they may choose to create a ministry or team to fulfill the mission set forth by the elders. Will you, the church, pray for them to seek God's vision? Will you join with them in forming ministry teams, supporting those teams, and make wise use of the resources in work as disciples? Elders and deacons serve because they are called by God, and they serve well when they lean on God. Will you pledge to pray that God would be with the elders and deacons, strengthening them, protecting them from temptations, encouraging them, and inspiring them? Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we give you praise on this day because you are worthy of praise. We thank you for this day when we as a church recommit ourselves to your call on us. We pledge to follow your lead, to lead people to you, and to help them become passionate worshipers and passionate disciples. We pray and ask you to guide us in doing this work you have given and in being the church you want us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So now we follow the biblical tradition of laying on of hands. So we're going to ask John and Nosheen to come to the center, and then Jess and Alexis and Alan to come alongside them. And then all the other active elders and deacons to come around them. So if you're active on the board, come up. And when we do the laying on of hands, the entire church participates. And this, you're part of God's church if you're here in faith, so we invite you to come even if this is your first time. We ask everyone to come to the front and lay hands on the group. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we affirm that you have called these to serve. In your name, we ordain John Roberts and Nusheen Ghazi into the life of servant leadership. We celebrate the installation of those who have received your call and all who serve in servant leadership in our church. We ask you to bless them, and we ask you to bless our church as we answer your call to be your witnesses, announcing that in Jesus Christ the kingdom of God has come near and that all can have life in his name. We give you all praise, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you to not go anywhere. Stay here. If you're in the center, move out of the center and let Laura Shrewsbury move to the center. Because in addition to doing an ordaining prayer, we also do a commissioning prayer. And Laura is preparing to go on mission trip to Hungary, and Phil Parton is going to lead the commissioning prayer. So, Ian, make sure this mic is up.
As we gather, shall we pray? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we thank you and praise you and bless you for the preparation that you have ordained into this trip and amongst these people and this team. What you have done developing the logistics and what you have done to prepare them spiritually. We plead with you, Lord, for protection as they travel, as they work and minister, that you will be a gate and a powerful protection against any of the enemy's activities, that you will allow them to work freely and with great purposefulness, that what you have ordained them to do, that thing that you have called them to do, they will do with great passion and great power. And it is the power that we ask upon them, Lord, for Laura particularly, as she is here with us and among us, but also for all the team, Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit would be in them and with them and among them and out of them. And Lord, for this team as they work together, that you will give them a spirit of unity, that we will draw them together in ways that they could never do in their own power, that you would give them one heart, one spirit, one mind, and one purpose. And Lord, that your glory would be upon them, that the glory of the Lord would go out from them, that your glory, Lord, would fill the places that you have led them and that you have guided them, that all the world will see your glory and rejoice. And we pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
We invite everyone to return to your seats. As we bring our worship service to a close, we are all sent out to be witnesses to the kingdom of God wherever it is we go. And so we're going to close our worship service with song. Would everyone please stand?